we cancel the Negative World podcast. We immediately start two separate podcasts. One where me and Paul talk about Marvel. One where you and Paul talk about Amiibo.
Yes, I'm the connecting fabric.
Hello, and welcome to the Negative World Podcast, a podcast about video games by the Nintendo fans at NegativeWorld.org. This is episode 77, and we're recording this on Sunday, May 17th, 2015. I'm your host, Steven, and with me is my co-host, Joe.
Hello, Steven.
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
How are you? I'm good.
This is not fake enthusiasm, because I'm excited for this episode today. It's Sunday, it's a little bit earlier, I feel like I have a little more energy, so I'm psyched. How about you?
Totally.
Great.
Yeah. I feel like I'm on a hype train.
Spoiler alert. Okay.
Okay.
With us today is actually a good buddy of mine. He's the last Negative Worlder I've actually seen in person, and it turns out that you have not actually ever recorded with this guy yet, so it's kind of a new thing here.
True. This is amazing.
So let's together welcome my friend Plute, whose real name is Paul.
Hello.
Hello, Paul.
How do you do?
We do well.
You do well. Good. Yeah, I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
You know, Paul has been on the show many times, but it's just never worked out that he's been on with Joe. So this is really cool. So, and considering I hang out with Joe quite a bit because the show and everything, despite he's in New York, and Paul, you're in a different country, but you're close enough to where we can actually meet up and hang out. So it's just cool to have you guys both here together. So
Paul has dodged the last 50-some bullets.
I listened to them, though.
So Joe feels maybe out of water, but Paul, you feel like you've been here all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I got to ask, have you had any buffalo wings lately?
You know what? It's not the same without you. It's I don't know, the flavor of the wing sauce is just a little bitter. The beer is just a little too warm without you.
That sounds like a really like a weird hybrid of country rock and R&B.
Yeah.
That could be a song right there. I don't know. I'm not going to explain myself. I'm just going to say it and move on. I want to do a quick shout out to my cousin Adam. It's his birthday today. And he doesn't listen to the show.
Happy birthday, Adam.
happy birthday, Mr. Adam.
This one's for you, buddy.
But the reason, besides the fact that we're close and everything and it's his birthday, he actually is the father of my username because he and I shared this username back on IGN way a long time ago. Right. And then he kind of just got out of the whole, video game thing so much, or at least he and I shared it, but I was the one who was active on the boards, and then he just stopped caring, and I just kept using it. Because people knew me as that, so he's the father of the username.
Nice.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So I wish he was here today, but he's off enjoying a barbecue with his family. So, beautiful day for barbecue.
Yeah.
It's also a beautiful day to talk about ukulele. Which, we're not going to talk about it too in-depth, because obviously we spent a lot of the last episode doing that. But I wanted to just have an update here for the listeners to kind of see where it's at. The project on Kickstarter is definitely kind of a lengthy one. And I think they had like a 45-day spread. And so we still have 30 days left to go. So you'll probably hear me update this throughout those episodes that fall in line. But just wanted to state pretty much as of recording right now, there's 52,069 backers. And that they've pledged £1,632,499 British pounds, which is, according to Kickstarter's conversion, is about $2,519,099 US.
That's it?
What do you mean that's it?
I make jokes.
I was going to say.
No, that's crazy. That's amazing.
It is pretty nuts. And it just went to 52,070 people. But I won't. I'm going to close his window so I don't do that through the whole show.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely been a crawl compared to its first, you know, handful of days. But it's definitely got some staying power, and it's going to, of course, have a, as they all seem to do, have this kind of uplift at the end. And who knows what's going to happen, midway there. I mean, they haven't had too many updates, but one update that they did have was their newest stretch goal, which was, okay, well, they hit the 15 or 1.5 million British pounds level, which was the orchestral score for the whole game. And now the only other stretch goal now is 2 million British pounds, and that is for DLC that's free to backers. I guess
Joe is excited for that.
I know.
oh,
I guess.
Oh my god, I love DLC.
You know, I'm not going to knock them for I guess having it. I mean, it's way too early to get on their ass for that. It does feel a little weird. Well, no, I think just the way that they introduced the idea is kind of weird, and considering the games that we've played in the past, that this is kind of referencing, you know, I don't know what they would do for DLC. And if it's something kind of like Shovel Knight, where it kind of adds a whole new layer to the game that's completely separate from the main game, and it's going to be a full main game regardless, then that's not too shabby. And if they hit 200, or not 200, if they hit 2 million, then it's going to be the first DLC anyway. I don't even know if they're going to have multiple, but when they make some additional content, it'll be free of charge to all backers, which is a nice thing. You know, you're not paying anything more for it, so people shouldn't get all worked up. And but it is a little weird, and I guess maybe in 18 months time, when they start talking about the DLC, which they say that they will not even start working on until the game's done, so that's promising. At least they're not trying to, you know, coincide with the game development. But we can complain about it then. But that's where they're at now. And I mean, really quick, Joe, do you have any comments about the stretch goal?
No. It really, I mean, that probably sounds ominous, but no, I really don't. I really just do not have a thought about it one way or the other.
Well, and like I was saying, there isn't necessarily a reason to think about it right now. I mean, all they've said is that they might, right, you know, that they're planning on doing it. And even if they fell through and didn't ever have it, and so we never got it for free because it never came out, who cares, you know? I mean, the thread that I'll say really quick, and we kind of talked about before, is just that their stretch goals in general have been kind of weird. There's been a weird series of announcements. This is just kind of another one. I don't know if they have the best idea of what stretch goals to do, but at the same time, do we need them to have a bunch of stretch goals? I mean, the game's going to come out. It's going to come out in a simultaneous release, and it's going to have a bunch of great content. That's all we really want in the end. So let them have their weird stretch goal that, you know, who cares if they even make it, you know, at this point. I mean, as long as they have enough money to fund the game, that's what matters.
Well, I kind of care if they make it because they officially made it a stretch goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they're promising content that, I mean, hopefully, yeah, they do start it after the fact. But, you know, here, you're going to get this. This is the stretch goal. Now they're kind of, you know, in a spot where I feel like they better do it because they promised it in a way. And what I find interesting about the whole thing is I don't know if we're just out of the loop or anything, but I think maybe it's just to be expected that there'll be DLC with everything now. Like, maybe they weren't even thinking of it as a weird way to say they're going to have DLC. It's just like, oh yeah, and when the DLC that's clearly going to come out comes out, you know what I mean? Like, what a weird time that we live in.
Right, right. I mean,
that is the time that we live in.
Oh, Joe.
And there's definitely a couple episodes back, a whole thing on that, but it's true. And you know, if they do something that's novel and interesting, then I'm all for it. Because, you know, I like DLC as an expansion of my interest and an expansion of the fun I have. As long as it, again, isn't some sort of simultaneous kind of hiding what should be main game content underneath the umbrella of extra cost, you know. So, and they said in their stretch goal thing that, you know, when and only when we've finished and released the final game, we'll proceed to make some additional content that'll be free of charge for backers. Which, it's not part of a pledge goal or anything, or a pledge tier, so really they're not promising anything. But you're right, if they happen to hit it, then then it's something. I mean,
hold on. If they do hit it, it is kind of
a requirement at that point.
It should be a requirement. Yeah. No, yeah. If they don't hit it, then that's fine. But it's just gonna be, I don't know, like a backpack that Yuka wears. Like the DLC is a backpack.
You know, and
clothing.
You know, if it's free to backers, then I'm fine with that. I mean, it should be free to everybody if that's what it is. But
I'm sure it won't be.
No, I mean, if it's some sort of extra world, or I don't know. I can't even speculate until I see more of the game. So honestly, that's pointless. But really quick, you've already kind of started, but I want to get your opinion on the game as a whole and how this is getting you hyped or not hyped, or tell us.
Is you me?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Me and Joe, we've talked about it.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. It was just, when I first saw the thread pop up on Negative World, who started that? Was it Triforce Fun?
Mm-hmm.
I took a look at it and I saw who was involved, and I couldn't help but be a little skeptical, because I've seen some Kickstarters. I've backed a few Kickstarters, but I've seen people who kind of promise more than what they feel they can deliver. And I also there's Mighty No. 9, which was its, you know, kind of a similar thing. It was like the first of its knockoff generation. Using better words for it, you know what I mean?
It was a developer making a game similar to one it had done in the past, but it was a main developer, a guy or a group that knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that is what this is, too. You're right.
And that's what I mean. Like, I know it's not a knockoff, but I'm going to call it the knockoff generation because it sounds funny to me.
Okay.
But because, I mean, now we have, Iga, the whole Ritual of the Night thing going on, too. Yeah. But anyway,
type game.
Yeah, I don't want to go off topic though, but I'm excited. Like, ultimately, I was a little wary about it. Banjo-Tooie, I wasn't a huge fan of.
Mm-hmm.
I 100%ed it, of course, because the actual characters in the world that they create is just very, that they're fun to be in. Like, even when, like, you guys talked at length about Donkey Kong 64 as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, Donkey Kong 64, I felt, was a very flawed game. But the world and the characters, like, there's something that's enjoyable where I will kind of push my way through it, even if I'm not having the most fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So Banjo-Tooie wasn't the best. I thought it was funny the way they started it by killing bottles and then all that stuff.
It was dark.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It was dark, and it was rare. It was completely like that at that point in time. That's what Rare was all about, really. Like, being silly in a really kind of unexpected way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Yooka-Laylee showed up and I went, well, I have this love for Banjo and Kazooie where, you know, you take these knockoff characters. I don't want to see knockoff characters. I want to see Banjo and Kazooie again. And that's where I was just kind of like, eh. But then when I really saw who was involved and all that stuff, I got exceedingly hyped and I backed it right away.
Yes. Very good. Glad to hear it. Just because, I mean, I'm hyped too. So I'm glad to see support for it. Do you want to share, you don't have to, I don't know if it's a personal question or not, but do you want to share what level you decide to pledge at?
Mon Dieu, how dare you ask me that? Zat. I backed, I can't remember what the cost was, but it was the tier where you get the playground before, like the, not just the regular playground, but the extra playground.
Ah, you went because above and beyond.
I did because I really wanted to play as, like, I want to feel how these characters feel, like, running around, you know what I mean? So whenever it shows up, it's going to be before the actual game. I'm going to be able to control them and just, I don't know, have that platforming goodness, even no matter how small it is, just to really get a feel for how they control. And I'm really excited about it. I didn't do it just to help them. I did it for myself in a selfish way. I mean, it's not really selfish. I'm giving them money, but I did it because I want to actually play that playground. I want to see how it goes.
You know, and I've been curious if I should jump to that as well. It's just the next tier above mine. Right now I get the digital deluxe edition, but with the non-enhanced PC toy box. So it's just, you know, whatever basic thing they're going to do. And I mean, that might be cool, but I've been hesitant because I don't know if it's going to be for Mac. If it's just for PC, then it's useless to me.
And yeah, they didn't really say anything about that. That's a good point.
I should try to hunt them down for an answer on that. It would just be helpful, because if it's for Mac too, then because I know they're going to make the game for that, so if they'll do the PC sandbox for that or whatever it is, toy box, then I'll bite, maybe.
I bet there's a good chance.
I would hope so.
Max actually been getting a lot more stuff than it used to.
I remember the Dark Ages for sure. But okay, so glad to hear that you're a backer and that you're excited for it. I think it's a safe bet. I don't think that they're going to let us down. Money number 9 was delayed a little bit, but I can't blame them either. I think that stuff happens, and I'm possibly a little naive because I haven't had a game fail, or actually I haven't had a Kickstarter at all back out on me at all, especially the game ones, but there have been a few delays. Shaun of the Dead, that's a movie. There's that zombie game that's kind of like a Pikmin type zombie game. Is it Nefarious or something like that? Where you play the villain?
Oh, yeah, that looks really good, actually.
Back that one. I mean, all the ones that I've backed are still in operation. So, cross your fingers, I guess.
Oh, for sure. The first one I ever backed was the Kickstarter for Broken Age.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the big, Double Fine one back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, because they decided to release it as two separate episodes, I got really excited when the first episode came out and I played through it really quickly. And then the second episode came out a while back and I still haven't touched it, which kind of makes me sad because back then I didn't have a child. And B, I feel like I need to play through the first part again to like get, cause it's a point and click adventure. So I feel like, to make sure I'm up on the story, I need to start it all over again. And now that I have my son, it's just a little bit harder. So I don't think they really burned me per se, but it didn't work out how I had hoped exactly.
You've got a first degree burn, but it's not third degree is what you're saying.
Yeah, that works.
I guess. You're still burned either way, so my analogy's wrong. But just looking it up really quick. Raise the Dead is what that one was called.
That's right, yeah.
Raise the Dead, actually. Nefarious, Tadpole Treble is delayed.
I never heard of that one. I don't get it. What's that all about?
Yeah, it's
Shovelware.
I think that's nearing completion. I wish we'd get an update on that, honestly. But and then my
that's the first Kickstarter that I have ever backed.
I did a pretty good tier for that one too, actually.
Oh, I did but, too. But he had the books in there and everything. It made it easy to do something like
that. But it's also easy because he just seems like such a nice guy.
He is. looking at this really quick, and we're kind of getting off topic, so I want to keep us moving. Yeah. But three of the four games I can see in my history, excluding Yooka-Laylee, of course, there's four other games, and three of them have missed their dates. So Mighty No. 9 was supposed to be last month. Raise the Dead was meant to be this month, and then Tadpole Treble was last December. Nefarious is set for July, and I don't think that's going to hit it either. But
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I'm pretty sure it's just people not understanding how much time they really needed for these things. So I hope that Yooka-Laylee's October 2016 is actually enough time, because that's a long time to wait. But go ahead.
What was I saying?
Don't even remember.
What?
But I thought we lost the connection, to be honest.
No, sorry. Yeah, I was going to say, this type of conversation would be perfect for Jargon.
Because
I know that he's not a big Kickstarter fan. And I want to point out that Yooka-Laylee is mispronounced. It should be Ukulele, but that's okay. Uku being a flea, and Lele is to jump. But that's enough Hawaiian for now.
Let him know. Gotta reach the whole project.
So Uka is what?
Uku is a flea.
Like an actual like a
like the little
creature
little bug. The flea, bug. Yeah.
So instead of a bat, we should have a flea, really, and it should be a name swap or something.
I don't know what they're up to.
Or a bat riding a flea.
I'm taking back my pledge now. I actually just looked up Yooka-Laylee because I was like, I'm pretty sure that it has an alternate pronunciation. I don't know why I did it, but I just did it. And that's my story, the end.
Well, take a deep breath because you're going to be talking a lot more. Let's go into Now Playing. And we're going to start with you. Yeah, rub it in, Joe, that we don't have transitions. Very nice. I mean, I guess I could play music in between them if people really wanted to. But
you, could. You just said it like you were throwing a transition, and so.
I know. And moving on to dun 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 dun. Dun.
We need an ukulele or whatever.
Ukulele.
However you really pronounce it.
I don't know.
then we can just, you know, pluck a few chords or something. Anyway, let's go into now playing. Paul, you've got a couple games lined up to talk to us about. So let me just let you do it. What are you playing, man?
I am playing a couple. Actually, I'm playing tons and tons of games. I'm like crazy when it comes to gaming. I'm constantly like, especially with my 3DS, which is always with me. I'm always opening up something new, but I'm going to zero in on a couple of games. And the first one I'm going to talk about is Xenoblade Chronicles, a game which I
never heard of it.
Yeah, it's this little shooter. It's a game that actually, the first time I was on the podcast, I championed it like crazy, the original Wii version. I had actually modded my Wii. It was before,
wow.
Yeah, before it was announced to come here and all that stuff. So I modded my Wii. I got it from the UK. And it is definitely in my top three, if not my favorite game that came out of last generation.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, when the Xenoblade Chronicles 3D was announced, I went, well, I guess I'm playing through that game again. Nice. And I purchased it. And I'm playing through it slowly. I originally was going to just run through it, just do the story, not do too many side quests. But I actually decided, since it's on my 3DS, I'll have it with me all the time. And I'm going to slowly just go at it whenever I have free time, whenever I'm not playing Smash Brothers or whatever. Right now, I'm still just on the Bionis leg, which has a billion side quests. I don't know. I feel that the game actually made the transition really well. I'm going to be one of the, like, on Negative World, I'm definitely one of the people to really, really just, if I find out that you haven't played it, I will jump down your throat and say, why have you not played this game? I'm really enjoying it. It's funny. Like, I went back and I know exactly how the story is going to go, and
I'm just thinking now, because you've listened to like every episode, and we did a whole expose on every nook and cranny at one point. So
yeah,
there's nothing that should be a secret now.
Well, that's the thing. And like, that's why I don't really want to talk too much about this, but, I just want to say I'm really enjoying it. And,
you mean you're really feeling it?
I'm really feeling it.
You have to go there.
You know what? Just to go off topic slightly for a second. I can't believe Smash Brothers doesn't even have one mention of Ryan. Ryan doesn't show up at all. That bugs me. I mean, yeah. You have Ricky and Dundan. I mean, why not Ryan?
Well, I really thought that they should have just went like the extra mile and made it so it was a random set of the three.
That's what I thought, actually, when I originally saw his video when they announced him, and I got exceedingly excited, even though I never quite learned him. I thought that's what they were going to do, but they didn't, because they're rats. But anyway, yeah, playing through Xenoblade Chronicles is awesome. It's just as awesome as before, except for the fact that I know what's going to happen. And yeah, I don't know. The graphics, of course, aren't the best, but the vistas make up for it, definitely.
You know, I could see a difference when I moved it to my HDTV, but it still looked pretty damn good. Like, I can't think of it now. It's the snowy area at night.
Yes.
What am I thinking of? Do you remember
the one with the awesome music?
Yeah. I can't remember the name.
But, the awesome music, you mean everywhere?
Well, that's true.
Pretty much. But that level in particular, I was amazed by how good it looked. Even though it was kind of pixely and blown out on the big screen, it was still beautiful. So,
yep.
Xenoblade Chronicles X is going to be one hell of a game. Just from a, you know, kind of graphical standpoint, I think it's going to be the vision of what we've all been hoping for, or kind of what we thought we saw back when it came out on Wii.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So.
It's a Valak Mountain.
Yes, thank you.
It's on the Bionis' right arm.
Oh, yes. Near that wart.
Yeah, near that little wart. where Shulk was found. But, I feel, because I played it on my HDTV, I actually was one of those people where I played through a good chunk of the game, got, something came out, something happened, and all of a sudden, you know, a year and a half went by and I didn't finish it. And then I actually did this epic post on Negative World about how I was so disgusted with myself for not finishing Xenoblade. And I really pushed myself. Like, I looked up a game fact just to read the story to the point where I knew I was at. And then I went through all the training. Like, because you can go back through it again. And I just got, I was even more disgusted with myself by the time I finished the game because it is so good. And then I'm playing through it again and I'm just slowly going through it. And I feel the graphics transitioned really well because, man, they look like a pixelated mess on my HDTV and they look, they're, you know, squished down a bit on the 3DS. So, it's an excellent game. That's all
how's,
I have to say.
How was the 3D on that?
Awful.
Really?
It's really phoned in. It's too bad. And especially with the new 3DS where I want to play everything in 3D because, you know, the tracking, I feel is really good. I was really excited to go, oh, when I hit the Bionis knee, when I hit the leg. And, it's going to be amazing. And no. It basically, it just takes the game and kind of recesses it into the screen a bit. And you get a couple like parallax seeming, you know, levels of 3D-ness, you know, like you get from a,
I mean, I don't know how hard it is for them to go back and do that to a game. Maybe it's really challenging, so I can see why they didn't do it. But man, that would have been such an opportunity to make it look amazing.
Yeah, that was one reason, actually one of the reasons why I wanted to go back to it. I was like, well, I can't wait to see this area in 3D or this area. But truthfully, that's really too bad. But
that's the only reason I would consider picking that up on 3DS. Because I had beaten it, you know, in its original form, and I knew that I put over 120 hours into it, and I didn't want to do it again. But I was wondering, you know, am I crazy enough to do that? And I looked over at my Amiibos and said yes, and then, but I didn't anyway. No, I don't even know. Amiibos were out by then. It was like February or something that it came out, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, because the Shulk Amiibo, Amiibo was already out.
Okay.
So, speaking of Amiibo, it does have slight Amiibo a connection with media support. Yeah.
Hopefully it's just the Mario one because that's the one people can actually get.
that's it. No, just the Shulk one. And he, of course, gets you 3 coins, which are they medals? I don't know. I think they're coins. And what you do is you can scan him once a day, but you can also get coins through street passes.
Mm-hmm.
And these you can spend these coins on a type of lottery machine, kind of like the old Smash Brothers thing,
mm-hmm.
where you can get character models to look at, you know, zoom around and look at, and music from the game, which is a nice little bonus. I mean, it's kind of a good Amiibo support because it doesn't take anything away from the game at all. And the first time I actually unlocked a couple models, I went, oh yeah, I'm unlocking these kind of horrible looking models. Ah, well, whatever.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I understand what you're saying with it not deterring from the game as far as, you know, unlocking some sort of key content behind it, which would be really crappy because Shulk is still kind of a hard one to get. And really, you know, people don't want to pay for an Amiibo just to get content that they feel should be in the game. Splatoon is maybe perhaps doing that a little bit, but
they are.
And I don't complain that much because I have most of the Amiibos, you know, but it's still iffy. And like, so to me, I'm a little underwhelmed by hearing what they did there, but you know, I don't know if I'd want to put a, you know, Valak mountain behind an Amiibo.
Sure.
You've reached the mountain. Use Amiibo to unlock. No, but I mean, you know, to maybe get you some good gems or something would have been kind of a nice touch.
Actually,
kind of like how Hyrule Warriors did.
That actually would have been really nice.
Because I feel like they should be used almost like the Game Genie or the or just cheat codes from yesteryear. You know, it'd be kind of cool if they could use them as that. Then they're optional. They don't lock content away, but they can also enhance your game, make things either more fun or easier for you if you need it, or you know, like why can't I use DK Dunk, or maybe in a future Donkey Kong game, but like get like Big Head mode or something.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Big Head Shulk.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really feeling it.
And that would be cool if non, you know, like non Xenoblade Amiibo, which would be everything but Shulk, would actually do something in the game like that, like. In some way, but I know that's a lot of work. So,
but it's funny because even still, you can like the thing that Shulk does do, you can do with street passes and with play coins. So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so it's not really much.
No, but so, I mean, anyway, that's good for people who don't have it, you know, or want it.
Oh yeah, no, it's true, but, for sure. But yeah, it is kind of lackluster, but I'm okay with it because it's not taking stuff away from people.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm looking at this moment at my gigantic collection of amiibo. So yeah, that's it on Xenoblade. I don't want to talk too much about it. We've talked about it so many times on the podcast. I'm really enjoying it. It's one of my favorite games. I can probably play through it a million times. But I'm awesome. Taking my time with it. It's going to take me probably a year or so just to, because I go back to it. I just keep going back to it every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of amiibo, you're playing something else?
That has nothing to do with amiibo. Good transition.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm playing Grand Theft Auto V.
Which... Oh, yeah. Well, see, it's the juxtaposition of the joke.
Which should work with amiibo. I feel it scanning the villager should...
What if you could smack your amiibo and it would feel it in the game, you know?
Hmm.
Could,
yeah.
Tramp amiibo and little mini rifles on a, you know, on a statue or something like that.
You know, yeah. Just put the axe on the villager, scan him in, and you just have him running around Los Santos. That would be pretty...
God, can you imagine, like... Like amiibo and then amiibo for the amiibo, so like little items and shit to pair with your... Oh my gosh, it's like a never ending.
Don't say it! They're listening.
Anyway, okay. Go ahead. GTA 5.
Yeah, GTA 5, which came out a while ago. I actually got it on the PS3 way back when, but I only put a couple hours into it and then I moved on for a bunch of reasons. It came out for the PC, which always excites me because I'm a PC nerd. I mean, I'm Nintendo first and then I go to my PC for everything else. Came out, beautiful game. The city, the county, the country, well, not the country, the whole thing that they created there is just ridiculous. Like, just the amount of detail put into it is crazy, which kind of brings me to my point about this game. I'm really enjoying it. It's a nice, beautiful, fun sandbox to play around in. It's amazing, but it would be nice to have a game that has this beautiful, like, it's a city. You have this city and then surrounding area around the city, like, so well constructed, but then you have these awful characters that you're playing as. Mm. You know, it would be so nice to have a game where you have this beautiful, like, so well done, like, area to play around in that where you don't have to be, you know, this absolute piece of garbage, you know, doing these awful things. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed Lego City.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And that was really fun. But even still, like, the amount of care put into the city, like Los Santos and San Andreas is just incomparable. Incomparable. Lego City, I loved. And it was a great Grand Theft Auto for kids kind of thing. And for me, because it was amazing. But just, it would be so amazing that if more people could experience the amount of care put into the environment of this game. You know what I mean?
So would you like to see something, I mean, not a GTA game, because obviously I don't think crime is ever going to leave that as the main focus, but would you like to see one where you play as the police force or where you play as just maybe an average guy, but you got a lot of stuff to do in the town, or is this... what do you want to see differently?
What's really cool about the PC version is you have the mod scene, right? And that's what I kind of like. And there's like some crazy people who like really get into these mods and they're creating like, mods where you are the police and all that stuff, which is so cool. But my problem is when you're walking around Los Santos, you go to the beach and you're walking around and, you know, the many different people walk by, they'll say things like, "Oh, you asshole. Fuck off." And like, "Oh, wow, this is a great, this is," and I even said to my wife, I said, "Look at this." I was like standing on this part of the city, looking out over to the pier where there was this, they have, a fair, right? You know, the Ferris wheel and all that stuff. And it was nighttime and it looked so nice. And I said, "You know what, Trish? I would love to live at this place if it wasn't anything like this place."
Oh, I thought that you were going to say that. Then someone walked by and said, "Ah, right. You asshole."
No, but that's it, and that's exactly it. Like, everyone's so angry and everyone's so, like, and I, don't get me wrong, I do enjoy the game for, you know, racing and running around and, you know, shooting and all that stuff. It's really fun. But it's so negative at the same time. You know what I mean?
Why do you feel? Because I mean, I don't have a lot of experience with this franchise. I've had a little bit of fun with what I've played, but why do you feel that the whole city's got to be negative? I mean, you think your characters and the main ones that you interact with would be, but why would the average pedestrian be kind of a douchebag too? I mean, it sounds like there's just a whole negative era across the whole thing.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, and there's a lot of, there is funny stuff in it, like genuinely funny that, but usually it goes back to being crass and just, I don't know. I don't know why. It's just, that's the type of humor that they went for. You know, because it's not just, oh, you asshole, but it'd be like, you asshole, and then some sort of joke about someone sleeping with someone else.
Okay.
It's weird. And anyway, I'm really enjoying it. I love it on the PC because I'm not a huge, I don't know. I'm a bit of a graphics connoisseur. So it's nice to see it in as its best. Not that my computer can do the best, but it can do pretty well. And especially the city, because it's so nice. Like, you feel like when I want to just be immersed, I'll like walk around the city or just drive around at night and listen to the millions of radio stations. It's such an immersive game. And then all of a sudden someone walks by you and says that, you know, it's too bad your dad, you know, ejaculated into your mom.
So that's the doctor maybe who delivered that person, or
I don't know. But anyway,
lots of character here. I'm trying to envision a world where that world and Xenoblade's world are together.
Oh man.
And it's an interesting thought.
That is my world.
I'm also imagining like this happening just in your hometown, and like if this is some weird parallel to where you live right now.
Well, yeah, Windsor is actually built upon the torso of a giant.
What, America? Hell yeah!
Ooh, that hurts. Okay, well, it's fine. We're building our other bridge. It's all good.
What the one? But across anyway, the Detroit River?
Sorry, what was that?
The one across the Detroit River.
Yeah, the other bridge, Gordie Howe Bridge. But anyway, yeah, that has nothing to do with anything.
No.
Grand Theft Auto, I'm really enjoying myself. The immersiveness just is amazing. It would just be really neat to see. And I don't think a game that isn't like this would sell as well. So, I mean, it's just kind of stuck. It's stuck in...
You know where it would sell? On a Nintendo console. Which sounds almost like a joke or like a slight, but, you know, I think that's what they were doing with Lego City Undercover, and I think that game was in the perfect place for it, you know?
That game is just, it's so sad that I know there's tons of people who haven't played it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was so fun.
No one around here, though.
Yep. No, I mean, that I 100%ed that game for sure.
I haven't played it.
Joe? Well,
you need to.
I want to.
What's holding you back?
Good. I don't know.
I'm sure the copies are pretty cheap these days. You should play it.
Yeah.
You rat.
Yeah. Someday I'll play it.
Well, that's some GTA 5 language there, Paul.
You rat.
Yeah.
You absolute whippersnapper.
Please. Hope it doesn't get worse than that.
Yeah, you better check yourself before you mess yourself, you know.
So anyway, yeah, that's it. I mean, it's Grand Theft Auto. It's been out for a while. I really enjoyed it. It's Xenoblade. It's been out forever. I really enjoy it. The end.
Well, join us back in 2 years when we talk about Splatoon for the first time with Paul. And, no, okay. You're all set. Should we move on to Joe?
Oh, yes.
Okay, then Joe, what have you been playing?
What have I been playing? Well... You know, it feels weird to say, Stephen, but I've been playing yet again a game that is not on a Nintendo platform. I know.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like the second time in 3 podcasts or something like that. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you'll get a Nintendo someday.
Someday, if my best friend down the street lets me buy it off of him or something.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, the Retron 5 cost a lot of money, so you sold everything off, and for some reason you soldered all the different ports for the Nintendo games themselves. I don't know why you hate Nintendo so much.
I don't know. I haven't even played Lego City Undercover.
gosh, damn you.
Stop it. Don't remind me. I hate you so much right now.
So I've been playing, it's just so weird to even say. So I've been playing, a game called Marvel Puzzle Quest through Steam. And it's just one of those match three time wasters. And that's my gaming life right now. This is what it's come to. I've actually played several of the Puzzle Quest line before. So, I think, played the second one on the DS, I think it was, and then Amy and I actually played through one. They released Puzzle Kingdoms, which was like the third game in that series, on the Wii. So we actually sat down and the two of us played through a match three puzzle game on a console, and we had a great time. Even though that was kind of a buggy mess, but we got through it. So this game is made by the same people, and it's similar premise. It's like an RPG, except you progress through it doing battles in a match three puzzle genre. I can't imagine that there's too much really unique to describe about this game. Compared to, like, if anyone has played any game in this genre before. But I guess I'll just describe sort of the structure, you know, of how you advance. So there's all these different characters. I don't know how many there are. I think there might be like 50 different characters, or maybe more. I don't know. They've got a ton of different characters, all from the Marvel Universe, and a lot of them will be like different versions. So you might have like a classic version of Storm from the 90s, and then you might have like a really, like an even older version from like the 1980s, and then you might have like the current version. So it'd be like three different characters, but it's basically just three different versions of Storm, and they'll have, you know, different moves and slightly different HP and stuff like that. The way that you recruit these characters to your team is through basically just random draws. So as you progress through the game, you get chances to do different draws, and the different draws will have different odds of getting stronger or weaker characters. Again, I imagine it's similar to other games of this type. And in order to sort of build your character together, you have to draw multiple covers of the same character. So I think it maxes out at, I want to say, 13. So once you get 13 covers of the same character, you can level them up all the way. Which you just do using experience. And the different covers will also have different colors, and those unlock different moves. Does this make sense so far?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Yes.
So
I'm simultaneously trying to view something on YouTube to kind of get an understanding of what you're saying.
That's okay. How interesting. Okay. I'm watching something on YouTube while you talk.
No.
I know.
So let me see. So if you, from any of the Puzzle Quest games, the sort of some of the RPG element, which goes along with, you know, who you bring into your specific party, because you bring in three heroes at a time. So those different covers that have different colors correspond to different moves. Each character can have up to three different moves. As you match colors, you get basically magic points that will be used to pull off those different moves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the structure of it. As far as then actually progressing through the game, there's a single player campaign, which is based off a storyline from 2008 called Dark Reign. And that's actually not that long. Single player for this game is not all that long. I'm still not quite done with it, and I've been playing the game for, I think, maybe 2 months now. But it's just because, like with any game like this, even though it, you know, it would only take a couple hours to play through the whole thing, eventually you start reaching matches where you're just not strong enough yet, so you have to go and kind of do other things and come back to it. And the other things that you would do are the versus. So that's where you're playing against other players' teams. It's not in real time or anything, but you sort of assemble a team and enter one of these frequently changing sort of mini tournaments. And it tries to match you up with players of similar skill level. And then you just play against their team controlled by the computer. And as you win, you get points, you move up or down a ladder. And then at the end of a given amount of time, it'll be, some of them only last a few hours, some of them last several weeks. Depending on where you finish, you'll get awards based on that. So that's basically the entire thing.
It's kind of like a Marvel-based Pokemon Shuffle.
Yes, probably.
However, in Pokemon Shuffle, you're whittling down the health of the enemy, and then you're trying to catch it. In this, the enemy is actually attacking you back.
Right, which
is pretty interesting. So it's like a puzzle game that hits back, which is kind of scary. It's like it's got a mind of its own, finally. Knew it would happen one day. So it's actually kind of cool, though. I like that you build the team of these different characters from the Marvel Universe, but they don't necessarily have to have, you know, been in
anything
the same
to do with
set.
Each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in the video I'm watching on YouTube, you know, Black Widow, Moonstone, and Spider-Man are together, and I don't follow Marvel really, so I don't know if they all went to, you know, book club together or how they know each other. Spider-Man, though, has a bag over his head. I don't understand that either.
That is a reference to, I think, one issue from I don't know how many decades ago.
I'm guessing he lost his mask or something.
Yeah, I don't remember how he lost his suit, but he winds up like in the where the Fantastic Four reside, and so they give him one of their spare suits, which is why he's wearing the blue four, and then he throws a bag over his head, and for some reason he gets known as like Bagman or something like that.
That's funny. But
so they have a real range of characters, which that gives you some idea of.
Yeah, and in this video, you know, Moonstone, Black Widow, and Spider-Man are trying to get Juggernaut taken down a notch. There's all sorts of things here I don't understand, but it actually seems more simple to understand than it looks, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, Spider-Man and Moonstone just got knocked out, so now there's, you know, a little bit less health on Black Widow than Juggernaut, and it's kind of a race to see who can finish. And I can see where you can get pretty hooked on this, you know?
Yeah, I mean, my wife had been playing it for months and months before I did, and I just never really been... I've never played any sort of, like, mobile game. Not because I was against the games themselves, per se, but, like, I'm not a big phone guy. I don't like... You know, I'm not like surgically attached to my phone at all times or anything. So this game, like, I play this on Steam on my laptop. Like, I don't play it through my phone. But you know, she was trying to convince me to play the game. It looked okay, but I told her, like, okay, if my two top heroes get added to the game, then I'll play it. And eventually, over the next couple months, they got added. So I was like, okay, so I guess I'm obligated to give it a try.
You know where that?
That would be Daredevil and Cyclops.
Ah. Nice.
Don't both of them have vision problems?
You know, it's kind of funny. I mean, one of them, is technically blind, and the other one kind of can't take off his glasses. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nerd!
See, I know something about this stuff.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, you know, playing them, it's very cool because, you know, one of the things I do like about Pokemon that I probably mentioned is that you can, you know, you have these hundreds of different options for your team, and you can really make the experience what you want. And what I don't like about certain games is when, yeah, you have all these options, but really there's only one option if you want to succeed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then it just, I lose all, you know, enthusiasm for participating in that. And I was kind of apprehensive about that aspect for this game, but it's just really not the case at all. You really have a lot of options. You can mix and match characters. Different combinations of characters will give you wildly different strategies. In matching up against other people's teams, it's funny because you kind of get to preview their team before you fight them. And so, you know, you want to pick and choose and decide, like, okay, I think I can beat these guys. And, you know, I was just playing against a team today that on the surface looked very weak, but the combination of two of their characters just obliterated me, you know, and I hadn't seen that combination before, and it was really surprising. And so now that might be something that I might want to look into doing later on, you know. So stuff like that. And just the fact that any given battle, you know, you mentioned how like one character gets knocked out or whatever, how much that can really change the course of the rest of that battle. Because when you're matching colors, like different characters are stronger with certain colors. So if one gets knocked out, all of a sudden, not only do you have, you know, less hit points to work with, but you're probably weaker as far as how you can attack. So now all of a sudden, maybe it doesn't make sense for you to try to match yellows per se, because it's just going to be so weak and you don't have any moves for it. So there's just a lot of different layers like that that offer a lot of strategy, but not so much strategy that it feels like work, because then I wouldn't have fun with it. So,
but it's certainly deeper than, you know, what I mentioned before, Pokemon Shuffle. And mm-hmm. That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
That's kind of a nice... I mean, is this the first instance of a Marvel-themed puzzle game?
That I can think of, certainly. Because,
yeah, I didn't think that those two worlds kind of meshed ever before, and so this is kind of nice for fans of both.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, it's like, since any good comic book nerd, you know, I was saying, I have certain characters that I really, really like, and then there's, of course, loads of them that I just don't care about. So it's cool that they're really, like, they're just always adding new characters. They've added a bunch recently that have to do with the movie that came out. And they've got, you know, a bunch of different versions of characters. So, like I said, there's those movie ones, and then there's ones that are more traditionally from the comics, and then, you know, there'll be ones that are more reflective of, like, a certain artist's run on a given comic book. So, they're just really trying to give a lot of options for, you know, any number of different people who might be interested in playing this game. So, that's pretty cool.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you mention that this was like a free-to-play?
Oh, yeah. I guess I should...
That's a huge kind of aspect about it, because like DLC, free-to-play is a kind of new marketing... not marketing, but a...
Business model.
Business model, yeah. That's showing up more and more, hence Pokemon Shuffle as well. How is that utilized here, and how do you feel about it?
Right, okay, excellent question. So, you know, first I'll say that... thankfully, it's the kind of game where you truly don't have to spend real money if you don't want to. That's another thing I was really apprehensive about. You know, is this the kind of game where it looks that way for the first 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, but then you reach this, you know, diminishing returns where you really have to start opening up your wallet? Since I had seen Amy play through it for so many months, I knew that that just wasn't the case, that it was strictly an option. So what that option will buy for you is basically anything. You can basically use money to do any of the things I've listed, short of in battle. You know, you can't just like pay to win a battle, but you can pay to like heal your characters faster, because I think, like you said, with Pokemon Shuffle, there is one of those stupid time limits, you know?
Yeah. And that exists here.
Yeah. It's a little bit different.
So with their health bar, so if you like lose a person, so Spider-Man in that video, he loses all his HP. He's actually got to regenerate it.
Yeah. So well, the way it works is you get health packs, and those regenerate for free all the time, up to 5. So you can have 5 maximum, and you can you can actually earn more than that just in the game. But whatever. So it's about 5. So you go to battle, you get damaged. That person will heal on their own over time. Or you can use a health pack to bring them all the way back up. And that's basically your limit. Now, the good thing about that is, if you're fighting battles and you're just winning and your guys just aren't getting hurt, you can play forever. You know? So
that's where Pokemon Shuffle fails and Candy Crush wins at. Because, yeah, in Candy Crush, you know, I was pretty addicted to that game for a while. And as long as you beat the level, you don't lose one of your, you know, time lives.
Right.
So I could go back and play levels I knew I could beat, but I could try to get higher scores, and you could play for quite a while. Mm-hmm. But Pokemon Shuffle, any level you try, even if it's a three, like a few of them are even 3 moves only, you know? Okay. It's very rare, but a few of them are that small, and that's it. That's one heart right there. You gotta wait another half hour, and that's a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's it. You still play in a burst, and then you do kind of have to wait, because eventually, if you're not pushing yourself, you're not really going to be winning anything worth winning. So you know, I could play forever on levels that basically win me nothing, but, you know, that's not really as interesting. Aside from that, you can pay for anything, like, if there's a certain character, like, for instance, Cyclops and Daredevil, like I mentioned. I've been playing for a couple weeks, maybe a month or two. I still don't have those characters, just because luck of the draw, I haven't gotten them yet. So if I wanted, I could spend money and specifically buy them. Once I buy them, if I wanted them to be strong, I could spend more money and buy more covers for them, basically level them up right away. So those are things that you can spend your money on.
What's the cost?
I don't even know, because I haven't looked into it. But you know, it's
soul.
Yeah, I think honestly, I'm not sure. I know that, like, people that I know that have spent money on it. Like, one guy has like everything. You can form alliances with your friends, by the way, and that's kind of cool, because as they do things, you kind of get XP and stuff like that. But he's bought, like, just everything, and I think he spent like $80.
Yeesh.
Yeah. Well, wow. He went, like, as far as you could conceivably go. So, I mean, there's not a huge difference between what he's done in a short amount of time and what Amy has done over several months. And she spent $5 on something because she just really wanted to.
Right.
I know another friend, similar deal. It was just like, he'd already, you know, once you put in a certain amount of hours, people very easily justify, you know, $5 or $10, because they're like, well, I've already gotten this much entertainment out of it. So, yeah.
And, you know, and we won't go down the rabbit hole of this, but that's, I mean, I think you and I agree, that's one of the troubling parts about these kind of things, is since there is no eventual end, you know, limit, that, you know, it's hard to ever know if you're really paying what you feel is appropriate. Right. So I abstain from paying for that sort of thing. With Pokemon Shuffle, I won't pay a dime because I don't know where it would end. Right. And I'll mention this again in one of my now playing games, where it's not exactly free to play, but it uses a model that gives you a definitive point regardless. And that's why I'm okay paying money. It'd be kind of cool. I mean, $80 is a lot for a game like this. I don't care how much, right. You know, I mean, I wouldn't pay $80 for, like, a free to play The Last of Us or something. You know, I mean, that's pretty crazy, but, you know, to each their own. I mean,
he's certainly an outlier. I don't know if I stressed that enough.
I've spent more on that in Amiibo, full stop. So I know that I can be as crazy too, but, but it'd be great if the game just naturally cut you off at 50, which I know very few developers would want to do, but at least it would almost give, I think, the community a little bit of a warm fuzzy that, hey, they're not here just to take as much from me as they can.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. But,
well, sort of like we once said about Pokemon Shuffle, like, if I had the option to spend $50 and never have to, like, let my guys heal up or something like that, I would seriously consider doing that.
Right.
Because I enjoy the game that much, and, you know, it is kind of annoying having to wait. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that is Marvel Puzzle Quest, a game that I'm just really surprised that I am into this much for several reasons. But yeah, I'm digging it.
Well, you made a good case, though. It's I mean, again, I'm not into the Marvel. I mean, I'm not against it either, but I'm not really that into Marvel comics, or, you know, the only comics really I've ever cared about were Archie and The Walking Dead, which is very similar, you know. So that's kind of why I never would even looked at this game, but it sounds like it's got a lot more depth than I would normally give it credit for.
Yeah.
That I might not see because I don't have an attachment to the characters in the franchise.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you think of just free to play period or mobile game period, you know, there's certain like red flags of, you know, people, you have to make sure it's still a quality experience. And I would just say plainly that this one is, you know, in whatever terms that you want to think of it, it's just, for what it's trying to be and for who it's trying to please, it succeeds.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. But that's all I've been playing. And not because I've just spent a ton of time, but because I haven't had that much time for games. So that's it for me. What would you like to tell us about, Steven?
Okay, well, I've got two things to talk about. One of which came out of nowhere last Thursday when Nintendo decided to say, hey, good morning, stretch mode is a thing now. And I think I heard about it over over lunch or something at work, and I was like, "Are you kidding me?" Like, there was no word that a sequel is in process or anything like that to the Pushmo Crashmo line of games, and here was Stretchmo with whole new mechanics and a whole new, you know, set of hundreds of levels, and it just showed up, which was great. Yep. I don't even think it was in the press release because Ludist always puts those things together on Thursday, and I didn't even see it in there. So
I didn't even see like anything on Twitter. You were the first person who told me about it when you were like when we were setting up to plan for this for this episode.
Oh, wow.
I was like, "What the hell's a Stretchmo?"
Yeah, and I, it's an amiibo that you can stretch. It's like Stretch Armstrong.
Oh man!
But yeah, don't pull your Stretchmo too much, or black ooze is going to come out of it. anyway, 90s reference, but. Yeah, I didn't know about it until Anon Mastermind. I think he was the creator of the main thread for it. I was like, okay, is he kidding? And then for a minute, I wasn't even sure if it was in America. I thought it was just in Europe or something. But no, Stretchmo was a thing, and it's technically free to play, but that's actually a misnomer. The game is free to download. You get like 5 levels, which are just basic training stuff. I mean, the most basic of the basic. And then after that, it gives you the opportunity to purchase the game or levels, but it does so in a way kind of like the Street Pass games where you actually have 4 different level packs and they're a varying cost. Most of them I think are $3, but I think the main one, which is double the, it's like, the first one is the Mallow's Playtime Plaza, which has 100 levels, and that's your basic kind of Pushmo experience, but it's got the Stretchmo gimmicks and everything. I'll go into that in a sec, but that's 100 levels, and that's $5, I think. And then I think the other ones were, I forget exactly how much it all is, but it all totaled up to like 13, almost $14. And the other packs were Poppy's Sculpture Square, which is levels all about like it pictures. Just looking here really quick, we've got like a giant thing of Mallow, the main character. We've got a gentleman standing with a cane, a helicopter. A bus stop, very unique levels that you wouldn't necessarily find in past games. And then that's 50 levels. Then you've got Colin's Fortress of Fun, which not only has the Stretchmo mechanics, but it's actually got enemies in it, which is pretty cool. So like,
yeah, I saw that in the videos. It looks interesting.
Yeah, some of them will like patrol the flat surface that you're walking on, which you can't touch, obviously, or it'll knock you off. And you can't rewind at that point, so you'll have to actually redo the whole puzzle. So that can be a little frustrating, but I think it's good that these enemies actually cause some sort of strife, because if they just were there to be in your way, then I don't think that's as, maybe it would have worked too, but the whole point is Colin has always been kind of the bastard who's locked the kids away in past games, and he's kind of like been a villain, and now he's a playable character, and he's got his own villains to contend with, so it's pretty great. There's 50 levels of that and a bunch of different gimmicks or whatever for that. And then the last one is the Papa Blocks NES Expo, where all the levels are NES sprites. And that's one of the things I always loved the most about past games was those kind of puzzles. But these are also the harder of the levels. And so there's, again, the 4 packs. And it's cool because in each one you do play as a separate character. So, I just named Papa Blocks, Colin, Mallow, and Poppy or whatever her name is. And so you get to play as a new character each time, which is kind of nice, too. It's a little change of pace. But each one, so you can buy them separately. If you only wanted to play NES levels or the harder levels and everything, you could do that. If you're only interested in maybe some of the new levels with the enemies, you can do that. Or you can just pay $10, which is about $4 cheaper than the whole thing together, and then you can just get the whole thing at once, full stop. So I'm glad that they did that and that it wasn't some sort of... that there was no incentive to pick them all up. I think that's really smart on Nintendo's part. I think most people probably will end up just doing that. But for those who, again, don't want to go through your basic levels, they can just skip, Mallow's Playtime Plaza. And if you buy any one of the packs, then you get the Stretchmo Studio, which allows you to create your own levels for people. And for some, that's all they want, too. So you buy a cheap pack, a $3 pack, and $3 for 50 levels plus a level creator is quite a value, I think that's kind of a hard to argue there. So, and then you might wonder, well, okay, this is just Pushmo then, right? Well, no, they call it Stretchmo for a reason. In Pushmo, you had flat walls that had no, it wasn't three-dimensional at all. It was just two-dimensional space. you pull out of those, or you push, hence Pushmo, and you can go out to three levels. And you couldn't move, well, yeah, you could move to the side. I'm trying to think if you can move, how many you can move. I'm trying to, I don't know, I haven't played Pushmo in a little while, but now every level is at least three-dimensional to one set of blocks. And so you can only pull or push or stretch into a two-level state, which does change the nature of things. And in some cases, you don't even have to pull out certain blocks because you can just run across that single line the whole way. So you don't have to worry about pulling out a block just to make your way across a level. And that allows for more unique designs, too, because you don't have to worry about having certain features put in there for that fact. It's kind of hard to explain, but... and then the stretching thing, now the game takes the whole 3D nature even further, and you really can work in three dimensions, and sometimes you have to. So you might do a bunch of setting up in the front where the flagpole is going to be, because you can only pull the flagpole block in one direction. I mean, you can pull it in any direction, but it's only going to show you the flagpole when you pull it out in the main direction. So you might set it all up, then you might jump down, walk through the back, which might be similar, but it also might have some differences. So you got to check back there, and then you can make your way back up, and now you can actually pull out the final piece farther than you, or far enough to win the level.
Hmm.
It's pretty cool. I've beaten over half the levels already. I think like 52% of them. I did the math yesterday. I'm definitely hitting a roadblock a little bit, which is fine. I think typically I probably beat about 80% of the levels in these games, and then the last, you know, 10 to 20% are too tough for me to wrap my head around, or maybe I just get sick of them eventually. But still, for $10, I mean, I've already beaten 130 levels, and that's a pretty good value for me. And there's still a lot here to enjoy. And I just love the theme pack, so I think they nailed it. You know, the fact that you get your standard levels, you get your murals, you get your enemy base levels, which are pretty tricky, and sometimes they're not so much about, you know, how crafty are you to know what to pull out, but can you pull out the blocks and stretch the blocks while also dodging these enemies and that will hunt you down or pose real threats. It's pretty fun. And then the NES levels are just fun as hell. I mean, you've got, you know, your balloon fight guy, you've got Popo from Ice Climbers, an Excite Bike guy in 3D, and then even the Sun from Super Mario Bros. 3.
Right.
You know, that's in the first 10 levels. I guess another notable thing about the game, too, is that the sections are done in sets of 10. So there's 5 for any 50-pack, there's 10 for the pack of 100. But as long as you beat 5 levels in that pack, it unlocks the next set, and you can beat them in any order. So no longer are you trapped behind whatever puzzle you're stuck on. You can typically move forward. And I think in Crashmo and maybe Pushmo World, they started moving past that, too, where if you played long enough, then you'd eventually get the option to just skip it. But here it's kind of a instant given, so you don't have to play them in order and everything, and that is more approachable as well.
Yeah, I actually like that, because I think the original Pushmo had a... If you kept screwing up, you could just skip it, I'm pretty sure.
It might have, but I think it took a long time.
Yeah, because I got stuck, unfortunately. I really liked it, and then, I don't know, I'm just not very good at it. To the point where, when given that option, I just preferred to just stop playing it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were to have the option of going, okay, you can do, you know, this set of levels in whatever order, this set of levels, I do like that. That is more approachable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, in agreement with that, I think the last thing I got to say about this game, it's obviously fun. I mean, I've only had it for a couple of days and I'm already this far through, but, it's back home where it belongs. As fun as Pushmo World was, and it's still a good value for those who want to buy it, the 3D is such a benefit to this game that I play with it on exclusively, and it looks so great in 3D. So I really hope people pick this one up, as you know, in light of even the other ones. So
cool.
Yeah. Not much else to say. I mean, it's pretty basic, you know, package. It's very streamlined and very fun. So. If anyone likes puzzles, especially if you can't stand Marvel, but you like puzzle games, this might be the game for you.
Although, to be fair, Puzzle Quest is a series that's been around for a long time.
Okay, or find another Puzzle Quest game. But
yeah, but oh no, I actually played the I'm just going to call it the demo of Stretchmo.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it, actually. The ability to stretch the blocks out actually was really nice. I remember on like the fifth puzzle or whatever the last one was,
mm-hmm.
I had forgotten already. Like, even though I had used that, I was like, okay, I was still thinking like Pushmo. So I was like, okay, what can I do here? What can I do? Oh, yeah! And all of a sudden I had it figured out. And that felt really good that I almost put that $10 down. And after you talking about it, I'm that much closer to actually doing that.
You really should. And, you know, you just maybe jog my memory. Yeah, Pushmo. So you can pull out the blocks and push them in, but you can't, you can push them and pull them from the sides too, but you can't stretch them out from the sides. And that's what you can do here. And that does change the nature of the whole puzzle. So it's really a game. It's a game changer more than anything, I think, in the past. Crashmo was pretty significant, but what I don't like about Crashmo is that there are points where you don't know if you've gone too far to even complete the level or not, because you might have something might have fallen and it can't get up, you know, and you're just stuck. But at least in Stretchmo, it goes back to the Pushmo world in the sense that you can never really totally screw up. I mean, you might have to reset sometimes if you've lost your path back down. But there's only so many different ways you can go. And now this expands the different ways you can manipulate a piece, but it still doesn't put you in a position where you could just instantly fail and not realize it for a long time to come. So it kind of fixes a problem that I think Pushmo had, but I could tolerate. And so I'm already going to go ahead and say that I think Stretchmo might be my favorite of them all. And then one last thing I got to mention, just because it's kind of adorable, but... I have to go back and check, but at least in the Poppies one, the murals section, one of my favorite levels here is, well, I don't even want to say because it's honestly kind of a cool one to come across, but there's like a frog or something in the first set of levels, and there's where a nose would be, nostrils, there's little nostrils, so like the pieces aren't just colors anymore. They'll actually put a few accents on them to make them more look cool. Like the image. Yeah, which they didn't do before. I know that there's a mustache on one of the levels I played, you know. There's a duck I think I played, and there was actual feathers on some of the pieces. So
that's cool.
And then of course with this new mechanic of stretching, there's a new type of move, and it is it's kind of like the one block that just shoots out all of a single color, you know, like in Pushmo and everything, but now it'll do it in all different, you know, all four directions. So everything will kind of explode like a firework, and then you have all these new platforms to manipulate things and climb, and it's just different. So great value, great experience. Considering the fact that it just showed up out of nowhere, you know, I almost want to slap Nintendo on the back and say, "You crafty bastards," because I like that they have surprises once in a while. I mean, I would have been excited for the game if I was shown it anyway, but you know, going towards E3. I can't say I'm hating the fact that Nintendo surprises us like this. So, any questions or no? Okay.
It sounds awesome. Oh yeah, sorry. You had mentioned a little while back about Archie and The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Have you read Afterlife with Archie?
I have not. After the first few issues came out, I wanted to get it, and I just never picked it up. And now I feel like. I don't know if I'm too late to actually get all the issues, or if there's a way to do it, but I'd like to.
That's kind of why when you mentioned, like, when you made the joke about how similar those series were, since I had seen that recently, I didn't even register it as a joke. I was just like, yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are similar. Yeah. I actually have, like, the entire collection thus far, including alternate covers.
Oh, wow.
I'm insane. But I
alternate covers.
Are the hard copies
the DLC of the comic world?
Yes.
are the issues still available in their hard copy form, or are the old issues now like PDFs or something?
I'm not sure. I
just depends on the store, right?
Or do they have compendiums like The Walking Dead does? I mean,
I have a feeling that they probably will. I mean, most comics that have, you know, a run like that generally will have a.
I mean, I'd hate to miss out on the cover art and everything in the individual books, but I think maybe that's probably when I'll get into it.
It's pretty cool. So anyway, sorry, I meant to mention that. But when it comes to stretch mo, yeah, it was surprising. It was very, I don't know, it seemed un-Nintendo for them to suddenly have this game. I think they did that with actually, what's it called? Chris Wright really likes it. The Armadillo.
Oh, Dylan's Rolling Western?
Yeah, Dylan's Rolling Western, I think, was announced and then released the same day, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow.
But I think that was the only two times that I can really think of it. I remember downloading it right away and going, neat! it's pretty cool. You've almost won me over on it, except for the fact that I can't stop playing Smash Brothers, which I didn't talk about, but yeah, I play that pretty much all the time.
Well, I don't know how to combat with that, but... although Mallow would be a fun character to have in Smash Brothers.
I'm actually surprised they didn't at least put him in as an assist trophy.
He might work best as one, you know, I admit, but yeah, like just pulling out random sections of the stage or something would be kind of...
Yeah, it's like, it's written there. It sounds so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But moving on, there's one other game I wanted to mention really quick, and I don't have too much to say here because a lot of it's story-driven, and I don't want to spoil the prologue of which I've gone through so far. But I finally sat down and played a game that I've owned for like almost 6 months now, Professor Layton vs. Ace Attorney, for the 3DS. And, it's in my system and I hope it stays there. But the thing with the game the reason it took so long to get into it is because it's a game where I gotta focus. I can't be watching TV at the same time. I can't be, you know, on my commute at the same time. The way that Professor Layton games have kind of lost their luster with me in the past is where I just kind of try to blow through the story just to get to the puzzles. And I don't want to do that here because the story not only is relevant to Layton, but it's also relevant to Phoenix Wright. And considering I'd never played a Phoenix Wright game before, I needed to make sure I experienced that correctly. And Paul already gave me a little bit of strife for that fact. But I'm getting there, obviously. You know, I'm trying. And... But what are you up for? You're like one of the witnesses who doesn't like what I'm saying to you. That's your reaction. Because that's where I left off is, you know, I played the first part of the game, which is the Professor Layton section, and it was the same kind of thing I'm used to, and I had fun with it, and it's been a little while since I played a Layton game, so it was kind of nice, and this is already a bit more supernatural than the Layton games have been. While the games do have supernatural aspects, usually it seems like, well, okay, there's obviously some sort of non-supernatural thing controlling it. It's all kind of a Scooby-Doo episode, you know? But in this game so far, shit is hitting the fan all over the place. And I don't, you know, I can't imagine how any of this is not just real witchcraft or magic or, you know, supernatural stuff. So I'm kind of excited to see how Professor Layton handles that world, or if he just pulls off the mask and Mr. Higgins, you know, is just pissed off at these wretched kids. But then it cuts to a section, and I think I like how it's doing it, where it's going to do a section of Layton and then a section of Ace Attorney. I have no idea how many different court sessions Phoenix Wright's going to have in this game. I mean, how many can you really have? But in the first one, you end up, I think the time's different too. I'm having a hard time following the timeline, but you're actually fighting in the defense of some random girl who happens to be the girl that you were kind of dealing with in the first section of Layton. And you're being told to just... You know, hey, just take a guilty plea and let's get out of here by that person's caretaker. And but Phoenix Wright, for all of his interesting personality that I'm experiencing for the first time, you know, he's got a bit of a code and he's not gonna, at least he doesn't feel comfortable just like letting that happen. And so we went through this case where she was captured supposedly stealing a toy off a ship, and apparently she hit someone over the head with a pipe and this and that, and it was really fun to kind of go through that for the first time and deduce what was happening and kind of prove some of the witnesses wrong or catch them in lies, or some of them seem like they're lying, but they're just kind of weaselly people who are just out for their own, you know, out for their own fame or something like that, and they're not actually being nefarious for the sake of hiding something bigger or whatever. I kind of like the animations too, where whenever I would finally say something really good or I'd really make a good point, it would kind of like knock back the other guy, like the other lawyer, and then his glasses would slide down or he'd start sweating. It's just really comical. And
that is absolutely the entire Phoenix Wright series.
And I think I could get behind that.
It's amazing.
It's just funny. I mean, the two witnesses in the first testimony, the first guy was some chocolate-loving, you know, like a bro kind of guy who was a security guard. And just, I mean, they only have so many animations, so it can kind of get annoying in a sense. But at the same time, I cracked up every time he just kind of put his thumb out there for a thumbs up and then took a bite out of his chocolate bar, which the chocolate comes into play later. And I felt really satisfied when I kind of pieced some things together, too. I did use two hint coins just because I'm not used to the gameplay. And I didn't know, I had a hunch, but I didn't know where I had to call that hunch out. But yeah, I mean, it was just really funny. And then obviously the other witness is, a chef. And at some point she's trying to chop an eel right there on the stand. And then when she's really pissed off, cause I didn't really make her happy, she's got a giant ass fish. And then she tries to chop that and ends up smacking her in the face. Like, it's just hilarious. Like, I was so overjoyed with the comic, timing and the comic aspect of it. So, and I really like the characters of Phoenix Wright and Maya. They seem like a really good team. I have no idea why they know each other or how that whole thing goes, but it's very, very cool. Huh?
It's awesome. You should go back and play the original trilogy after finishing this up, because it's one of my favorite DS series, for sure.
Fair enough. I mean, I think I've talked about it on the show before that I was pondering that, but I just never got around to it. And, you know, again, it's easy for me to just kind of forget about a game that I don't have any attachment to, but I might have an interest to. You know, okay, well, this game came out for $10. I'll just spend the $10 on this. And how much is the triple pack?
I'm not sure. Okay. I'd have to look that up. But I am going to warn you though, because I was lucky enough to jump on it as soon as it, like, Ace Attorney first came out. So you can get what I call Layton syndrome or Ace Attorney syndrome, where if you play games like all in a row, you can kind of
absolutely
tire yourself out, because it's the similar, you know, you're playing a similar similar type of game over and over and over again. But space them out and play them, awesome, fantastic.
Well, you know, maybe that's what I'll do is I'll look into it, I'll purchase it, or maybe even wait a little while longer this year, but get it before the end of the year or something. And space them out, because that's what happened with me and Layton. I played, I don't remember which ones, but I played one of them, had a blast. I played another one, had a little less of a blast. And then I played, I think, the third one right after that.
Yeah.
And, because I think I got the second one, right before, but I'm not saying the actual second one, but just that I've played. I got the second one that I've owned, digitally through some sort of promo. I played that, and then I actually had one that I bought in a cart, so I played that too. And yeah, that's when I just wanted to speed through the whole story and just click around frantically to find the super puzzles, because that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing, because I'm a big fan of Layton as well, but which is why this whole crossover game was one of the most exciting things when it was announced for me. I mean, I wasn't 100% thrilled with it the way that it turned out, but I did enjoy it. Like, I really did enjoy it quite a bit, especially when I finished it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I don't want to get too much into it because it's your game right now. But
that's all right.
I actually do call it Layton syndrome or Ace Attorney syndrome, because they're so similar to their sequels, but the stories are just so fun. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate that you sped through one of the stories. That goes to show that the syndrome was getting to you.
Yeah. And I can't imagine I'd go back and play it again. You know, I'd rather just read it and then continue on. I think I played like, I forget which ones. I know I ended on 5 on the 5th one. So there's still one more in that line of story. And, you know, it's been, well, I wouldn't want to play too close to this game now either, even though it doesn't relate story wise.
Oh, Layton, you mean?
Yeah.
Plus there's the movie, which connects to the 3 prequels.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. But yeah, so lo and behold, I'm getting into that now, and it's fun, and I definitely intend on continuing with it. I always did. I'm really glad that my girlfriend bought it for me for Christmas, but I need to make sure that I sit down with it, though. I don't want to, again, play it when I'm distracted, which I do a lot of gaming while I multitask these days, but this one I'm trying to keep special.
Excellent.
But anyway, so let's move on. I have a quick little segment, and then we're going to take a break. This is you know, kind of in light of E3, with all the hype that's coming around, the hype train is something that us Nintendo fans do best. You know, we ride the hype train, we get all caught up in all this stuff. And so, well, I don't want you to limit it to E3 when you decide. I just want to know what you've pretty much got hyped, you know, in your brain right now, what you're curious about or what you're really excited for. This is Dr. Fink's Hype Train. You know, my notes...
Hi, everybody!
In my notes, I did have that in caps, but I had insert non-existent theme music here because I don't have any, but thank you for whatever cacophony that was.
It was awful.
But the Hype Train! You know, I just, as I was typing up the notes, I thought, you know what? You know, we all get excited about stuff, and we don't necessarily ask that question to our guests. So I wanted to know, Paul, please go first. Just really quickly, what are you hyped about right now?
I'm not going to lie. The thing that I'm mostly hyped for is DLC. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
I am.
Villain in the first act.
Objection!
Take that! Smack. Ow. So anyway. I am Smash Brothers, I don't know if anyone knows, is like my favorite thing in the entire world. And, it's funny actually, I've been playing the 3DS version more than the Wii U version lately, just cause it's always in sleep mode, it's usually on for me. And my son takes a nap, I can't go to the basement to play the Wii U, I'll just kinda take it out. But anyway, I play Smash Brothers. When I found out Lucas was coming back, I was very, very excited. Let's just
is say Lucas
that.
Your boy?
Lucas is one of my mains in Brawl. I've learned, actually, this Smash Brothers has taught me to just keep learning and learning and learning new characters. It's so much fun just to learn as many characters as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But just the fact that I get Lucas back and then hearing about how there's, you know, some files on there for Roy, which doesn't excite me so much, but it's kind of neat. And some files for, Ryu, or as I called him when I was growing up, Ryu from Street Fighter.
Wait, that's what?
In Smash Brothers? Yeah. You hear about that?
No.
Anyway, when the when Smash Brothers was updated for, you know, the recent update so that Mewtwo could be downloaded, in the game files they found some Street Fighter music.
Okay.
Some stuff for Roy and some stuff for Ryu or Ryu.
Like
as
file
well.
Names referencing.
I mean
them,
it's
right?
It's yeah, and I mean nothing's been officially announced about it. Mm-hmm. But it's people are pretty sure that that may happen.
I would expect,
which is exciting
for E3.
Yeah, exactly.
And plus, actually, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, and I would think maybe Lucas might show up that day. You know, so so be ready because they said June. So
that's true. That's true. You know, it'd be neat though. I'm hoping that they announced Lucas right now, but maybe they'll release like a 3-pack, and then you'll have like these 3 characters.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be neat. But also, there's the putting in for characters to be in Smash Brothers, that whole thing that happened a while back.
Yeah.
I'm just excited to see Smash Brothers grow because I know that another Smash Brothers isn't going to come out anytime soon. So getting, you know, more on the roster, and I'm hoping, because they talked about different types of DLC, that we're going to get different stages as well.
Yeah.
And maybe different modes. I'd love a one-on-one for fun.
Hmm.
Mode online. Anyway, I'm very excited about future Smash Brothers DLC options. That's my big, big thing right now.
All right, great. Well, Joe, what's your hype train?
What is my hype train? Well, I hate to bend the rules of the hype train when it's just leaving the station for the first time.
Choo-choo!
And I'm already hijacking the junction and switching the tracks. But, I don't know. We were talking about this before we started recording, and I'm just not really. I don't know what it says about where I'm at with gaming right this moment, but I'm just not really hyped about anything game related. This is actually the first E3 in a long time where I don't have this like laundry list of hopes and dreams that I've been like bouncing around in my head for weeks. So. If you want to talk about what I am into lately, I've just been watching a lot of the Marvel movies lately. If we could go back to comic books for a moment, which I think is what this podcast is really about.
Yeah.
Keep dreaming.
So, So yeah. So that, I mean, that's, if you want to
so simply
talk about well, that for I mean, 3 minutes or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. You know, I just wanted to know what you, so what about the movies are you excited about?
Well, just the Avengers 2 came out a couple weeks ago, and so I planned a big thing between myself, Amy, my sister, her husband, and their son. And we, you know, we went over to their place and we watched the first Avengers, and then we all, my brother-in-law just like dumped like a Santa's bag worth of candy on the table, and it was just like, everybody load up your pockets. And that was like embarrassing, but also fun at the same time, as we're trying to walk in the theater, and we're all like rustling as we take a step.
You got to cosplay as Pocket Man when you go in there to see the film. He's in there, right? He's an Avenger.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Pocket Man.
Pocket Man.
He's always got loose change when you need it.
They call him the trench coat, and he's just got pockets upon pockets, and you know, who's anyone to say what's in those things?
Yeah. So
I'm hoping he's going to be DLC for Smash Brothers.
The trench coat.
Pocket Man, hey, you don't know if it, you don't know where it's going to end.
The Pocket Ryu's Protector. There.
Wow, pretty good. Yeah. So yeah, so since then, Amy and I have just been, we've just been watching like all the Marvel movies, even the ones that we like weren't interested in at all, like some of the Thor movies and stuff.
Have you been marveling over them?
A little bit, a little bit.
So are you watching the ones that aren't officially part of the MCU?
No, we are just doing the MCU. Because that's one of the things I like so much about it, is how they all tie together, at least loosely, you know, how they all have that memory.
Oh, yeah, totally.
As someone who has, like, little interest in this universe, I do respect that, though. That was a smart move, you know,
way back in the day. So. Yeah, because so many of the other, you know, any other time that they've, you know, people have tried to do superhero movies in the past, you always kind of have to like jumpstart the engine every time and like get people interested again and remind them again about how this world works and whatever. So to tie them all together like this, I mean, it's amazing no one did it sooner, but I guess before that, people probably wouldn't have necessarily thought that you could sustain an entire movie franchise off of something like superheroes, which is considered relatively niche for a long, long time. So, So we're just, we're into that. We're enjoying it. You know, we were all about the Daredevil Netflix series a couple weeks ago. That was freaking amazing.
That was excellent.
Oh my God. I mean, I just said how he was one of my favorite heroes, but I was not even planning to watch the show because, you know, stuff like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff, just in the TV format, just superheroes, even the quote-unquote good ones like Arrow and stuff, just hasn't really captured my attention. But I watched one episode of Daredevil because Amy was out of town that weekend and I had nothing to do, and I was just like, I'll just put it on. And then I think I watched like 7 episodes that night or something. It was that good. So yeah, I'm all about the MCU lately and looking forward to Ant-Man in a couple of months. And yeah.
So you don't really like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I want to, if that.
How much of it have you watched?
I watched the first like 5 episodes when they came out.
So that's exactly what my wife and I did. We watched the first 4 or 5 episodes. I was like, this is awful.
Right.
We stopped watching it, and then for some reason, my friend Dave, actually, who Steven knows.
And so should the listeners. It's Bearded Nerd.
Oh, the Bearded Nerd. One of the newcomers.
Yeah, no, he's like the most popular Negative Worlder. So anyway, he's actually a DC fanboy, but
oh man,
but he does.
I like very, DC too.
He does very, very much admit that Marvel really knows what they're doing when it comes to TV and movies. Yeah. And DC has no idea what the hell to do with itself. But anyway, he actually got me into trying it again, and we continued it. And then Captain America came out, The Winter Soldier, which really affected the plot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
As you can imagine.
Yeah.
And then it got really good.
Okay.
And And then it got really good. Then we watched Agent Carter. I have watched everything to do with the MCU now. And right. Yeah, you could talk to me about that quite a bit. My wife and I actually were both very much into the MCU. I've never been a superhero comic reader, so I'm not going to pretend that I'm a huge Marvel, you know, whatever. But when when it comes to the cinematic universe and all that stuff, I'm just so intrigued by it because it's all interconnected. Yeah. I mean, even Daredevil, you know, talks about it slightly. I mean, it works on its own, but then they'll say something, and you go, you know what? That's cool.
yep. No, it's all so brilliant. I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that most of these are, I just think they're well written in the sense that they don't insult their audience the way that a lot of, I think, like a superhero movie often would. And I don't even mean anything that has to do with superpowers or anything like that. Just stuff like, even watching, I think it was the first Avengers movie where, you know, Captain America, he's a man out of time, right? So he's new to this world and everything. And someone references flying monkeys, right? Which is an allusion to the Wizard of Oz.
Yep.
And he, like, I think it's like someone's about to explain to Captain America what the Wizard of Oz is or something. And he's just like, no, I got that one. And instead of, and just the subtle difference between saying, just leaving it at that and then moving on, or saying like, no, I got that. That's the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
It's just little things. It's just like, thank you. Thank you for not thinking that we are just like mindless, you know, drooling audience members that can't, you know, have any kind of thinking of our own. Cause like, even if you didn't get it right then, maybe you ask someone and that's not the worst thing in the world. So just, I think they're just written with that kind of intelligence, and it just makes everything better. And to your point about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter, I have heard on another podcast that they've said, like, every time one of the movies comes out, the shows get a lot better. So you know, I'm willing to take your word for it and give them another chance. Certainly.
Yeah, give it a chance. Like, don't start again. Start, like, continue where you left off. And and then there's a bunch of stuff that happens, specifically in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that I think is pretty neat.
Cool. All right. Yeah. We'll do. And with that said, let's get the hype train back on track.
Yeah. Here I am at the station just waving goodbye. Saying,
you fool, they're so good.
Well, you know, I don't know. I got other things to watch, I guess.
It's cool.
Are you going to see Batman versus Superman?
I don't know. They're filming that in my state, so I probably should. But
really?
It looks...
Yeah, Affleck's been in Lansing and stuff.
Speaking of movies, I know that we're off. This will probably be edited out, so whatever.
Well, anyway,
I saw the preview for Gem and the Holograms.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, is it based on that 80s cartoon?
Yeah, based on Gem, which was just amazing. I liked it when
truly
I was a kid.
Outrageous.
Even though it was a girl's cartoon, I still watched it.
Truly.
Hey, don't be gender
biased. Truly, truly outrageous.
No, that's what I'm saying. I enjoyed it. It was made for girls, but whatever. It's awful. Like, what? It has nothing to do with Gem.
They need more Robin Sparkles.
Do you ever see? Serious. Well, nice. Hey, Agent, the MCU Maria has Hill. Robin Sparkles.
Yeah.
But anyway, it looks awful. It has nothing to do with Gem whatsoever, except for like a bunch of names that they threw into there. It's a basic vanilla movie plot about a girl who becomes famous and doesn't know if she, you know, wants to be that character. Has, you know, she's not fighting crime and driving around on giant guitar motorcycles or anything. So
plus the limo with the pool in it.
I know. Yeah, so anyway, that's a perfect way. Like, I've only seen the preview, but I'm pretty sure it's just a really good example of, you know, not knowing your audience, or, you know, just not, what's the point kind of thing.
That's a shame. I hate when movies do that, when they're like, when they think like, okay, we've got this title, people are going to be interested in this title, but not everyone will want what this title's about. So we'll like use the title to bring them in and then make this other movie.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Like Batman versus Superman?
It's all about them as working in a accounting office.
No, it's all about how Jem goes to Gotham and with a block of kryptonite.
That would be so much better. Could keep going.
No, anyway. No, we should probably
What was the name of the bad guy the evil band.
Well, what's the Misfits. Name? The Misfits.
Oh, yeah, there you
their,
go.
Their
yeah.
songs are better. We are the Misfits. Our songs are better. We are the Misfits. The Misfits. And we're gonna get her.
My
anyway.
God, I haven't heard that jingle. And my sister's had the VHS or whatever for that thing. And the next time I didn't expect the next time I was gonna hear that, like 20 years later, would be you doing an impression of it. I thought maybe I'd see it on TV.
Now we need to get
but...
all of Negative World. That'll be the next.
Yeah, that's the
medley.
Next one. The gem.
Listeners are these guys are referencing the Super Mario Brothers Super Show kind of medley that I put together with a bunch of wonderful singers and voice actors and all that a while back, you know, to commemorate that show. So apparently now we're doing that for all the 80s shows. Although that was a 90s show. Or was it 80s? No,
no, that was 80s.
Definitely
that
80s.
Show was 80s. The cartoons that came after were early 90s. But yeah, so anyway, we've all had right. all sorts of hype trains going God knows where. This was clearly a mistake. No.
No.
I'm just kidding.
We'll but do better next time.
But to keep things, for lack of a better pun, on track, yes. I guess
video
I'll,
games.
I'll say my hype train, which seems so pointless at this point. I kind of want to play Puzzles and Dragons, but now my hype's deflated because it's not as excited as the rest. No, I've been going back and forth on if I should keep my Puzzles and Dragons pre-order from Amazon. I just, like, many weeks back, I was like, ah, this looks fun. But I played the demo, and it still kind of confuses me, and yet, now that I understand yeah. what I'm doing, I'm kind of having more fun really thinking out my moves, because, you know, you use the slide mechanic, and that shifts things as opposed to just swapping, and that really changes the whole damn nature of the game. And I don't know if I'm going to ever even play the, you know, non-Mario version, because the Mario one I want to do, it's a little bit more simplified and everything. But I think I've gone to the conclusion that, yeah, I'll pick it up. It'll be something else to play. So, I am excited for that. I'm on the hype train. Chew, frickin' chew. with that kind of, fun finish, I guess, let me just, say, let's take a break and then we'll get back to our two main topics, which, God knows how long it's already been on the show, but, we got two topics for you today. Enjoy the music for the break, which is the Gem theme song. It will not be. I'll be too excited.
Truly outrageous. Gem is my name. No one else is the same. Gem is my name. Gem.
Hi, welcome back to the Negative World Podcast.
podcast about Gem. From okay. Gem fans at negativeworld.org.
At negativegem.gem. Okay, let's take an actual break, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about the Splatoon global test fire, and then I'll take a look at the history of E3, featuring Gem. Be right back. Hit the brakes on that hype train, past Steven, because we're at a bit of a crossroads. You see, the listeners of this episode have already been hanging out with you, Joe, and Paul for 100-odd minutes now. And you haven't even started talking about the Splatoon Global Test Fire or the history of E3, which has been going on for about 20 years now. E3, that is, not this podcast, though the recording session did get pretty close. Actually, though, it's kind of insane and awesome that E3 has been around so long, but there's no way people are going to sit here for another 2.5 hours while you guys discuss all that. So instead, we will end the show here with another awkward cut-in, and we'll finish this epic discussion with episode 78. So thank you for listening to another episode of the Negative World Podcast. Please take a moment to share your thoughts with us in the thread for this episode, which will be found on negativeworld.org. By the time you hear this, it'll be up. Also, check us out on Twitter, where you can keep up on all the latest public content. We're at @negative_world. You can seek us out on Facebook, too, by searching for the words negativeworld.org, and it would be just swell if you could write a little review on iTunes about the show. We appreciate the feedback. So without further ado, I want to thank Joe and Paul for recording these two episodes with me, and please stay tuned for the next episode where future Steven will no doubt kick the show off with another minor monologue before a hard cut right back into the meat and potatoes of our little sit-down. With that I say, keep playing games. truly outrageous.
Oh, yes. Anyway, what?